If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Sometimes Christianity is accused of being all theory and no practice. And I'm not just speaking here about good works. I'm simply meaning that there's very little satisfaction. There's a sense in which Christianity doesn't really hit the heart. It is theoretical. It's about proposition, knowledge, knowing things, and facts and history, archaeology. But where's the heart? Well, the Lord Jesus certainly preached to the heart. And every born-again believer who has come to put their faith in the Lord Jesus can testify that the Lord Jesus not only gives us a new mind, but he gives us new desires. He changes us from the inside out. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And today's message is very much about the experience of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I want you to have that experience. So stay tuned as we turn to our pulpit ministry.
Today, we're coming to John chapter 14, and I trust that you will be blessed as we come to this passage of God's Word. Now, just to get us into this passage, I want you to notice Judas' question in verse 22. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is another Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now keep in mind that the word manifest means to reveal. And so Philip has this question, how come you reveal yourself to us but not to the world? Now with that question, and we trust the Lord will help us to look at this, let's unite in prayer and ask for wisdom and help as we come to God's Word together now. John 14, verse 22. But let's pray firstly. O Lord, help us in thy Word today. We pray for the strength and help, the power, the peace, the blessing of God as we open the Scriptures together. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt manifest thyself to every hearer, every listener of thy Word. O God, grant that you will right now just breathe into hearts and reveal the Lord Jesus, and may we know him whom to know is life eternal. Give wisdom and help in preaching. Lord, I rest on thee, and I pray for a liberty that can only come from thyself. From the Holy Spirit, I pray for that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit now, that I may preach and teach thy word in all its fullness and grace today. Now, this question of Judas was the fourth interruption which the Lord had in that evening of instructing his disciples. Now, any teacher gets somewhat suspicious when there's an eruption and interruptions and questions. But perhaps you can remember your days of school and classes when someone in the class piped up with a question. And afterwards, leaving the classroom, you would have said to them, boy, am I ever glad that you asked that question, because that was the very thing that I needed to know. And there are times when a question and the answer being given by the teacher is the highlight of the lesson. And how often and how thankful we are when we read our Bibles and we come to this question. I'm certainly very thankful that Judas asked this question. How, Lord, wilt thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, the Lord Jesus had just stated, if you go back here into verse 21, he had just stated, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, the key word here is manifest, and it means to make real, to make real. If a truck driver is going over the border into the United States from Canada, he will be required to carry a manifest. That is, a document listing all the goods that he is carrying. And that's called a manifest. He is to declare, to report every item. And when the Lord manifests himself to his people, he is making himself real. He's opening up who he really is in a fuller way. And remember what we learned in the past, that we can only know God to the extent that he reveals himself. And that is true of the Lord Jesus also. And there are people in this world that do not know our Lord. He is hidden from them. and the Lord is pleased to reveal or manifest himself unto his own people. And surely this is the longing and the desire of every blood-bought, every spirit-filled Christian. Lord, make yourself real to me. Come into my heart, come into my life, and make yourself real. I just don't want to learn about you in a book. I don't want to have a second-hand interview or report of my Savior. Lord, meet with me. Make yourself real to my heart and in my life. And so this is our theme today. The promise of the Lord Jesus making himself real unto us. Now, it would be very poor interpretation of the Bible if we restricted this simply to the disciples on this night of the Savior's arrest. That cannot be. We would limit the whole Bible if we did that. The Bible would be off limits to every reader. God has given us this record, and as he speaks to the disciples, as he gives to them this experience of his reality, it is for every Bible reader. And here we are today with our Bibles, and we can put our finger on this text, and we can hear the Lord speaking that he will manifest himself unto us. Now, in this passage, he said to his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, this word manifest is a verb. It is an action word. And it is describing what the Lord is doing. It's in the active tense, and the Lord is the doer. He's revealing himself to us. It's not us prying away the drapes or trying to peer into some place where we have no business. The Lord is opening up the veil, even the veil of our eyes and of our hearts, and revealing himself in a wonderful way. Now, if you go further in the grammar, it is also in the indicative mood, which means it's factual, is an instruction, and therefore it is real. Now, there are many in the world, and they speak of Christians, that they're sort of crazy, they have lost their minds. They speak of this reality of the Lord Jesus in their lives. And of course, the world does not understand this. Now, the other precious thing that I noted in this verse 21 is that the Lord focuses this upon himself. I will manifest myself. It's not facts, it's not doctrines, it's not history, it's Jesus himself, his wonderful person. And the Lord is making himself known unto every one of his people. And it's not just the stuff of Christianity, the externals of religion that we need. It is more of Jesus, more of our Lord in our hearts, in our souls, in our walk, in our prayer life, in our personal closets of prayer. We need more of the Lord Jesus. And here is a tremendous promise that the Lord makes to his people. Now, I realize, and as I said earlier, for years I have prayed over this passage. I have found here wells of deep experience of the Savior, which are better felt than telt. And there are depths to these things that are beyond expression. They are beyond even doctrine. They are the experience of the Christian. And it is something that every born-again, spirit-taught Christian enjoys. And every true Christian can say, I know the Lord Jesus, not just by putting my finger on a page in the Bible, but I know him in my heart. And this is a personal, wonderful experience of the Lord Jesus. Arthur W. Pink calls this a spiritual revelation. It is the Lord revealing himself to the inner man, the inner soul of the Christian. Henry Scargill called regeneration the life of God in the soul of man. And in these verses, in this answer of the Lord Jesus to Philip's question, how come thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? We have here very precious truths, very precious introduction to this experience of the Lord making himself real to us. And that's what we really need. And that's what I pray for every believer in my congregation. As I think of you today and where you would normally sit in this congregation, as I think of you coming to hear God's word, as you come to prayer meetings and seek to worship the Lord, my burden, my prayer is that you would in a greater way know the reality of the love, the grace of the Savior and his presence in your heart. And I want to walk you through some of the experiences of reality that the Christian must and should enjoy. Now, let's go through this passage then. We'll go to verse 21 firstly, and we will experience the reality that Jesus is alive. But more than just living, he lives in us. There is a direct relation between the living, the reality of Jesus living, and his living in our souls. It says in that verse 20, that day, and you remember how we wrestled with what day is that? And I drew the line that that is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come, when he would be pouring out his grace upon those early Christians. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And then go back to verse 19. Here is this statement, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Ye have my reality. Because I live, ye shall live also. And really, there is the inner witness of the living Savior. He walks with me. He talks with me. I know he lives because he lives within my heart. And that was the power of the witness of the apostles after Pentecost. This knowledge, this absolute conviction and assurance that Jesus was alive. It wasn't just a memory. It wasn't just by looking at an empty tomb. It was in their hearts. The Holy Spirit was convincing, convicting, and filling them with the assurance, Jesus is alive. And of course, he was alive because they felt his living power within their own souls. This was the transforming, victorious power in the hearts of every apostle and every Christian in the early New Testament church. And so there is a resurrection of the body of Jesus, but there's also a spiritual resurrection in the heart of the Christian, in the heart of the believer in the Lord Jesus. Now, you may equate this with regeneration, and that's proper. There is this quickening, this new life, and it's the life of Jesus in our hearts. And this is the reality, Christ manifesting himself, that he is alive. And oh, what a difference that makes in our Christian walk and in our Christian living. Just to know with deep, absolute assurance, Jesus is alive and he's living in me, that transforms my life. And surely the Lord has done that for you if you love the Savior today. I can testify of that living, blessed assurance within my own soul all these years that I have professed the Lord Jesus. Now, this is the experience that Jesus is alive. Then secondly, we will experience his love in our souls. Let's go to verse 21. And we are told here, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Truly, here is the inner witness of the Savior. Here is this blessed love of Jesus poured into our hearts. Now, this is not just words, and it's not even just moods. There is a pouring in of the divine love of the Lord into our souls. Now, John the Apostle was called the Apostle of Love, the beloved apostle. And you remember, and when the Lord was on the earth and during those 3 years of ministry, that John was often leaning on Jesus' breast. He personally experienced the love, the reciprocal love of the Lord Jesus within his own soul. And so we find him in his writings dealing with this in a very strong emphasis. And we find that here in John's Gospel. We find it also in his letters later on toward the end of the Bible. Now I want to read to you 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. And you will see that this was no passing thing to John, but now it becomes his theology. It becomes his doctrine, and it becomes the thing that he expects of every Christian. And he says in 1 John 2:5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And so every Christian experiences the love of God, the love of the Lord within our souls. And then 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And so there is this experience of this love of God, this love of the Savior flowing into our hearts. And John expects that. Then also in 1 John 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us not love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now we're going to read on right down to verse 11, because here John puts such emphasis upon this love of God in our souls. And it is a real experience. It is a real inner work of the Lord in our very inner beings. Verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son, only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another." And so you can see that our hearts are won by the love of Calvary. It is that propitiatory sacrifice, that death of Jesus on the cross. And there is the great exhibition of the Lord's love to our souls. And when we are born of the Spirit and the reality of Calvary, of Christ dying in our place, it works a mighty wonder of love within our own hearts. Now, Peter also knew this experience, that it is the portion of all believers. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 8, he wrote, "Whom having not seen, ye love, yet believe." And of course, the world asks us, how can you love someone that you can't see? How come that Jesus is so real to you? How can you have this conviction that he's living? How do you even know that he ever rose from the dead? Well, the wonderful miracle of the gospel is that we are given this grace, whom having not seen, ye love, yet believing. The eyes of faith, the eyes of our souls, enable us to behold our precious Lord and Savior. And that is the experience of the child of God. Read the letters of Samuel Rutherford and many of the other Puritans of that era, and you will read their letters where they speak in terms of this passionate inner experience of the love of Jesus within their souls. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And so the Lord becomes real to the senses of the Christian. Now, I know that that's somewhat analogous language that the psalmist is using there when he says taste and see. But he is expressing the reality of it within our souls. Now, if you're listening today and you're really not comprehending what I'm saying and it doesn't line up with your experience, I have to ask you, are you converted? Are you born again? Are you really a child of God? Because to those who love the Lord and trust in the Lord, he becomes real. He manifests himself and he comes down into our hearts and lives in our hearts, and he awakens us and opens the eyes of our hearts, and he enables us to love him.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.